You're listening to Band Geek with Richie Castellano on the Riotcast Network. Riotcast.com.
Hey guys, Richie here. This is Band Geek episode 12, which is part 2 of the Kasim Sultan show. So if you missed part 1, go back and listen to episode 11 to hear that. Before we get into it, I just want to take care of a couple of things. If you want to help out the show and you like what you're hearing, go to riotcast.com/bandgeek and subscribe. You can also go to iTunes, rate the show, and leave comments. That helps a lot. If you want to support the show financially, what you can do is you can go to our site again. That's riotcast.com/bandgeek. And at the top of the page, you'll notice an Amazon.com link. If you shop at Amazon.com regularly, instead of going to the regular Amazon.com, go through our page, riotcast.com/bandgeek. Click that link and it brings you to the normal Amazon page. Then when you make your purchase, a small percentage goes to support our show and it really helps tremendously. So thank you in advance for doing that. One more thing I want to mention is that Audio-Technica was kind enough to provide all the microphones and headphones for our show, and that is huge. So if you are in the market for anything, whether it's consumer level, you know, amateur, semi-pro, professional grade, Audio-Technica has everything. They have earbuds, microphones for any type of user. If you're just have an amateur recording studio and you want a couple dynamic mics or a reasonably priced condenser, they have that. If you want to get really high-end stuff, they have that too. Or if you want to do your own podcast, they have USB microphones. They have a full range from beginner to pro. So please check them out at audio-technica.com. So if you missed part one, Kasim Sultan is an incredible singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist. He played bass on Bad Outta Hell. He was a member of Utopia, Todd Rundgren's band. He toured with Joan Jett, Hall & Oates, the list goes on and on. And currently, he's playing with me in Blue Oyster Cult. So where we left off last week was I just asked Kasim how he got started. So here you go. Enjoy the show. When did you learn how to play? Was guitar first or bass first?
Guitar. Okay. I took lessons when I was about 9 years old at Giffords Lane Music, actually. Okay. I had a big, huge, my dad bought me a pea green Gretsch double anniversary for Christmas one day. I knew he was going to buy me a guitar for Christmas, and I thought I was going to get the coolest electric guitar in the whole world. And when I opened the case, I looked at this huge green guitar that was almost as big as me, and I was like, oh, thanks.
What's wrong with green guitars?
At the time, it was, you didn't want a green guitar, you know, two-tone green, no less.
This is the color all the other boys wanted.
were those single coils on those?
Double.
Okay.
Yeah, and I learned how to play. I took lessons from Ray Longobardi at Giffords Lane Music. And
Ray, if you're out there,
no
props.
I think Ray. Unfortunately, I think Ray went to Vietnam. And
rest in peace, Ray.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But he was the coolest guy in the
for
whole world.
For vacation, Richard. Jeez, bring it down.
So I took 6 months of lessons. I hated it. And I said, I'm going to teach myself how to play. And that's when I decided that I was going to just hole up in my bedroom for the next 6 months to a year and learn. I taught myself how to play.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And when did you officially change your name from Maurice Lefkowitz to Kasim Sultan?
On my driver's license, it's still Maurice.
I want to get back to some Todd stuff because I want to do a Todd song now.
Sure.
I'd like to do I Saw the Light.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to do this in our band we had
Jules. Yeah.
So really quickly, I'm going to show the chords. And if I'm wrong, please correct me.
Yeah.
Starts off with this chromatic from E to D. D minor. G seventh. Okay, it does it a few times, and then it goes to C major seventh, E minor, A minor, back and repeats. C major seventh, C seventh, and then F major seventh, E minor seventh, A minor seventh, D seventh, or D sus, okay. Then D minor seventh, G seventh, C major seventh, D minor seventh, C major seventh, D minor seventh. Back to right.
Yeah, and the other thing too is the bass. I always wondered if the bass was did the chromatic scale down every time. But actually, there are times when he follows the melody more and does. Which is, it was late, as opposed to, it was late. Yeah.
Cool. Now, that's, you're going to sing the song, but is this song challenging to play and sing?
No, not for a bass player.
No? No. Because what Todd or Utopia song would you say is challenging to play and sing?
Oh, God. Jeez. I mean, there's a ton of them that... that are a little difficult. There's a song called Trapped. Love in Action is a little hard to sing and play at the same time. But the hardest one is off of an album called Initiation. It's the title track off of that record. Initiation is just impossible to sing and play at the same time. I don't know how I did it.
Now, how do you work on stuff like that?
It's just a question of, it's like riding a bike. You know, you just start slow and you just keep going and keep going and keep going. And eventually it becomes muscle memory.
Do you practice them together or do you make sure you have like the bass part down pat first?
Separately first, okay. And then together. Because, you know, or at least this is how it was explained to me, is your brain can never do two things at once. So it's constantly... back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Like, you
know that.
Milliseconds or nanoseconds back and forth to like you're playing and you're singing. So you're not actually, your brain isn't actually thinking of doing the two things at once. It's two separate things, but your brain is just going.
That's like a transistor or something.
Mm-hmm.
I have a pretty.
It's like a refresh rate.
Yeah, right. I have a pretty crazy part in this solo. So it's an easy part, but I suck at slides. So. This is the slide part. It goes from the 15th fret of the E string down to the 12th fret. And then on the B string, you go from 12 to 10. So that's the riff I'm going to be playing over and over again, and I have to do the solo. That should be fun.
It'll be good.
It's tough. You know what I mean? When you don't do it all the time.
I saw Seymour Duncan walk up to you after a show and say, man, you played really good slide. I saw that with my own eyes.
And I asked him, were we at the same show? So we're going to do this with one of those tracks we made for the Jules Richie Casson project.
Okay.
And here we go.
What was that band called?
Did we even have a name?
I don't know.
The Jules Richie Casson project.
The Jerks.
The I'll Drive Anywhere to Make a Buck band.
This is really far out in Long Island.
Yeah.
Big. Yeah, you came with us one day.
I did.
The Boonies. That's the name of our band. Boonies. Oh, here we go.
Something
Very nice. Excellent. Thank you, boys.
Awesome. Oh, let's bring the lights back down.
Because that's how you talk.
Because that's how you talk with these audio technical microphones.
Hey, Mo. And when you get it, what happened lights. To? There should have been a kazoo solo in that.
Is there?
I'm sorry. No, there isn't. Right,
let's play the middle solo part again with a kazoo solo. Let's see what you got.
Let's see what you got. You better put up with that name now. Because you got the name.
Mo Pleasure. Do you want to know where I actually pulled that from?
No. Go ahead.
I was getting excited because we're going to see Katy Perry next month. And so I was watching the movie on Netflix again, and everybody has like, oh, this is Brian Stevenson. He's been my manager, this and that. And then just in the middle, there's a guy named Mo Pleasure.
Uh-huh. You're gonna alternate here.
I have two instruments.
Let's jam a little bit for give him up a nice little bed. Ready? One, two, one, two, three. You ready?
Oh, sure.
Take it, Muff.
Very good, man.
You're improving very slowly.
Just because of this podcast.
That's right.
I'm taking pieces of paper. I'm listening to them, writing down all the inversions.
You hit one really awesome note in there.
Just one. I paid 60.
One of those was good. We'll sample that one.
Hey, so I really dug what you were trying to do. It was really great. If you only had in the low end what you so sorely lack in the high end, you'd be wonderful.
I don't know what that means. Are there any other questions from our listeners?
From Focaccia Book? Yeah.
Focaccia Book.
I like that.
Yeah, okay. Let's
Focaccia Libre.
Focaccia Libre.
Focaccia Libre.
This is a two-part question from Shay Dougal. What's the best advice you could give a young bass player like myself? Mm-hmm. Second part, what is the best defensive maneuver to use against attacking groupies for when I become a great bass player?
I'll answer the second part first. A very, very aggressive girlfriend always works. It works.
Or a Babylon 5 t-shirt.
Yes.
Which is not
with some stains on it, actually. And as far as the first question goes, what advice I would recommend? It shouldn't be difficult. It should be fun. And it's like, you know, have fun with it. It's like, I hate that phrase, but it's really true. If you're not having fun, don't do it. And the biggest thing is to know your limitations. You know, if you're not getting something, maybe you should move on. You know? So I would say if you're really, really a committed player and you really want to have a career in music, you're a nut job. but it's certainly possible, and you just got to be passionate. You just got to really be passionate.
That was a good answer. Interject. We haven't even spoken to Susie at all today. I'm so sorry, Susie. I'm so focused on Kasim.
No, I'm the happy listener.
And how long have you guys known each other?
About 5 years, not 4 years.
A little longer than that,
yeah.
Now, you're also a musician, right?
I'm a hobbyist, but yes, I'm a musician.
What do you play?
Bass guitar.
Okay, tell
us. And a little clarinet.
Really?
Yeah.
From school?
Yes.
Now,
as a Jew, I find that incredibly attractive. She's playing minor chords and a clarinet.
I have a B flat clarinet.
Oh. You're going to have to separate yourself from her now.
Yeah, okay. go stand on the
Do I need to move to another?
He really has to live up to his name. Yeah.
Oh, God. I want to meet him.
So, did you play in marching band?
No.
Okay. So you didn't have to do marching band. We did marching band. That's why we're all band geeks. But I mean,
I would have loved that though.
Really?
Yeah.
Now you just went to regular gym in school?
Yeah.
We only people in band call it regular gym. It's just called gym.
No, that's we're not true. There was yoga gym and weightlifting gym as
really
well.
That was dumb school, though.
Yep.
Wow. Yoga gym.
I did yoga gym.
You did?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Now, are you still teaching yoga?
I am.
Awesome.
Yep.
Do you want to give a plug? Where do you teach, or do you want to...
I'll do a shout out to Shakti.
Okay.
Yoga Center, number 3 Victory.
There we go.
In Bay Street, Staten Island. Also Bally's, Manhattan.
Cool.
There's a couple other places. Dolphin Fitness.
Awesome.
But this is about Cass.
That's all right.
This
no,
is about
we're interested in everybody. We, you know, we obviously took marching band, and that's why we're all fat. Because we didn't have to go to regular gym.
To, you can, it's just called gym.
Yeah.
You don't go to China and say, is there Chinese food here? It's just called food.
Yeah, so that's why it's Band Geek. But we're also, you know, well, some of us are pretty nerdy. And Kasim is a very cool guy, and I didn't know he was nerdy about stuff until I saw his gear collection. And then I realized, aha, there it is. So you have some pretty awesome pieces in your arsenal. No, I don't think there's any junk in there. I felt like I was in Raiders of the Lost Ark at the warehouse when I went to your storage locker.
Yeah, well, I you know, it's like I go through these spurts of like selling and buying and selling and buying and selling and buying. I stopped a selling spurt and just got stuck on a buying spurt. And I haven't sold anything in a long time, so I have a huge guitar collection that's like kind of sitting and
all right,
doing
let's,
nothing.
Let's
you can only play one at a time.
Let's talk turkey. Okay, here we go. Basses. What do you think? Not your favorite bass to play, but what do you think is like as far as vintage? What's your best vintage bass?
Oh, but hands down, my 64 Precision.
Wow,
that was stripped, and I bought it from a kid in Great Kills for $125, and that was the bass that I used on Bad Outta Hell, the first couple of 3 Utopia records, and it's just a really, really nice bass.
So you heard it here. Make Casper an offer on that bass.
when I
reasonable offers on.
I did you a favor one day, and you and Kasim were part of an exhibit at Snug Harbor.
We were,
for Staten Island musicians.
We were,
and. You asked me if I could pick up stuff since I worked down there. And so I was like, yeah, okay. So I picked up your guitar and like a plaque and one of your records. And then I saw Chasm stuff on the floor. And I said, oh, I called Richie. I was like, maybe I should pick up his stuff too. So he doesn't have to schlep all the way down here. And you said, yeah, yeah, he'd really appreciate that. And then I had your bass from Bad Outta Hell, like a gold record. Like I had like 19 things. I could have went to Mexico and sold all your stuff.
Do you still want to? Because we could work out a deal.
So what about guitars? Because I know you have a lot of nice guitars. How about electrics?
I have a 67 gold top.
Oh, man.
That I really love. That's a really, really nice little guitar.
Nice little guitar?
Yeah, no, it's really nice. I have a couple of, for a while I was buying Kitsch stuff, and I bought a bunch of Supros. You know, the Gumby guitars. Mm-hmm. So I have a bunch of them and some Dan Electros. And
what about acoustics?
That's really what I've been concentrating on over the years is I got into Parlor guitars, which are very, very small, like single O guitars.
And they're very expensive.
It depends on what you get. And you know why they made Parlor guitars. They were made in during the Civil War because all the men were off fighting. So there was no one at home for any entertainment. So they started making these smaller guitars for women to play in parlors. So that's hence the name Parlor guitar. And my first one that I bought was a Boston Haynes Excelsior from 1900. And it's just this really cool little guitar. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't sound great. It does, but it's just just the history of it was enough for me to want to get it. And then also tenor guitars too. I have a bunch of tenor guitars. Like I have a Rex Playboy tenor guitar.
What are those tuned to?
It's a ukulele tuning.
Okay.
Or you could tune them to ADGB or DGBE.
Now, those Parlor guitars, do they all have, because the few I've played, they've had that like really sharp V-neck.
Yeah, that was the neck of the early 19th century.
Really?
Know? Yeah.
I kind of like that. Every time I've played one, I kind of want one, but then I look at the price tag and I say, I don't need it that much. Well, I mean, I think now Washburn makes one, or like I think companies are starting to make like import ones that are sort of like, you know, sub $500.
Yeah, they make some really good stuff, Washburn.
Mm-hmm. All right, I want to ask you, what was it?
I have a since you've been playing and collecting gear for so long, what's the weirdest piece of gear you've ever had? Like, you know, in the, you know, just like some weird pedal or keyboard or synthesizer or something.
That's a really good question. I guess the weirdest piece of gear that I ever had was an aluminum bass. It was called that was shaped like a reverse Ankh. Yeah, it was made by what the hell is his name?
Eric Bloom.
No. Valeno out of Florida. He's a really famous luthier.
Eric Bloom's out of Florida.
Yeah.
Is it Eric Bloom? Just say it.
And the top of the guitar was the circle of an Ankh, and the body of the guitar was just a little tiny triangle. And the neck was made out of wood because the guitar weighed about 40 pounds and it was all neck. So you put it on and it was like just immediately the neck just hit the floor. And so we had to put lead in the back of the guitar, in the body of right where the tailpiece is, to try to make it counterbalance it. And it was the worst. You had to take the action was so ridiculous. You had to take a cab from the strings to the fretboard.
When did you play this bass?
During Utopia. It was on a couple of Utopia tours.
You looked at it like, that's going to look badass.
No, I was like, you really want me to play this thing? Come on. Do I have to? And the other instrument was a Lyricon. It's a flute-like instrument, but it's breath-controlled, and it was... Patti Smith played one for a while. It was just the weirdest little like synthesizer, but it was a flute.
Okay, that, yeah.
Yeah, a Lyricon. Yeah. And I had to play that.
Now, let's talk about your current rig.
Mm-hmm.
So you're playing, are you playing your own bass? Your signature
Yeah, model? I was approached by Archer Guitars a few years back. And I have a buddy who's the CEO of Interstate Music. And he said, we'd like to do a signature bass. And I said, only if I can design it from the ground up. And I said, the other thing, it has to be affordable. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be a $2,500 guitar where somebody has to pay a mortgage, you know, make a mortgage payment to get it. So I said, I want beginners to be able to play it. And I want it to be something that I would use as well. So I came up with this little body design. It's kind of like an Ibanez body design. There's Ibanez electronics in it. I designed the neck and the pickup configuration. And it's a $400 bass, $499. And I used the same exact bass on stage that you get off the shelf. And it's a great, great guitar.
It's a good awesome. One. Yeah. I have great. One too.
Yeah?
Yeah, Susie has one.
What about amps and stuff?
So a while back, I was, you know, I was a SVT Ampeg user for probably 25 years. And then I found this little boutique company out of Princeton, New Jersey called Euphonic Audio that make the best bass amps and cabinets in existence as far as I'm concerned. And I've been using them for about 10 years now. They're not super duper expensive, but they're really, really clean and really good. They make a 110 bottom that's great. They make a 210 bottom that's amazing. All of their stuff is really, really good. So it's Euphonic Audio.
Is that the one you bring with you?
Mm-hmm.
You were bringing one with you.
That's a head that I bring with me.
How much does that head weigh?
It's probably about maybe 5 pounds.
You inspired me to do that, by the way.
I did?
Yeah, because you were bringing your own head with you, and you had this like 5 pound head that sounded monstrous.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable, and I said, wait a minute, if that's like a Class D power amp, that's what they call those, right? The really lightweight, solid-state power amps?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And so I found a company that made those for guitar, so now I'm using one, so you turned me on to that.
And the guy who designs the cabinets, too, is a physics professor in Princeton, and he's a John Dong, and he's a really, really, really great guy. And the cabinets just sound great. And the cabinet with the head is not only affordable, but it's a really, in my opinion, it's the best bass amp out there.
Do you have like a even though, you know, you've had a lot of stuff over the years, do you have like a dream piece of gear or equipment that you've never been able to like, you know, like pull the, you know?
I'd love to get my hands on a 50-watt Marshall from like 1965. That would be great. But you know, that would set you back about 10 grand, I think, something like that, between 5 and 10 grand.
Put it on your wish list.
Yeah, put it on my bucket list, right, on my wish list. The other thing is, and I just like to shout out Elixir Strings, because I've been using Elixir Strings for about 15 years now, and this is the best string out there.
My dad uses those too.
Yeah, I mean, I swear by them. They're great, and it's a great company. I don't have to change strings more than like once every 2 or 3 months. And it's just, you know, it starts, that's where it starts, man.
Right.
You know, I mean, after the fingers, it starts with the string.
One more geeky music nuts and bolts question. Pick and fingers. Mm-hmm. I noticed you use both.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are very, I must only use a pick, or I must only mm-hmm. use fingers. I love the guys who do both.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you learned bass, was it only pick and then you did the fingers? Or how did that come about when you go back and forth? Was that something you just always did?
Well, first of all, the only reason I became a bass player was because the band I wanted to be in already had two guitar players. And they said,
why,
well,
everybody
if you
want, became a bass
yeah,
player.
If you want, exactly. If you want to be the bass player, you got to, I mean, if you want to be in the band, you got to be the bass player. I was like, fine, whatever. You know, I'll be the bass player. And I played with my fingers.
Okay.
I always played with my fingers. And then they kicked me out of the band after that because I didn't have an amplifier. And I went home crying. I was crying to my mom. I said, they kicked me out of the band. I can't believe it. I'll show them. And I mean, I'm still friendly with those guys, but they still live with their mom.
Fuck those guys.
And they're my age.
Oh. So I guess on like, you know, stuff when you want like a harder edge or faster stuff, you generally
play the
pick.
It depends, you know. I mean, for like for eighth note stuff, I love playing with a pick. I love. I did some work with Steve Stevens, and he's like, he insisted on you using a pick.
Right.
You know? And there are other, like when I did the new Cars tour, that was a lot of that was pick stuff. You know?
Now, like a BOC song like Harvest Moon.
Mm-hmm.
The breakdown, do you play that with a pick or do you play that with your fingers?
I play that with my fingers.
See, that's balls, because I couldn't play that with my fingers.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Couple more questions before we let you go. What was your favorite tour to be on? Like, what was the most extravagant, no expense spared, awesome tour?
That was probably... you know, the first few Utopia tours were A tours, and we traveled, you know, on really nice buses and stuff like that. But the real A plus tour was the Meatloaf tour after the record became number one. After Anything for Love hit, you know, I mean, that record was the album was number one on Billboard for 11 weeks, and the single was number one for I think either 6 or 8 weeks, something like that.
Wow. I was going to ask you what's the lowest quality tour, but I know the answer to that question. I know the answer because we have to be there at 6:15.
Yeah,
you gotta
right.
be there in a few hours. Yeah. No. I give them a bad rap. We have some really nice gigs. We got to go to Monte Carlo and do some cool stuff like that.
I wasn't there.
Anyway, we got No, but
we're going to Costa Mesa this year.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to go, we get to go on those cruises, which we love. You know, the Rock
Legends cruise.
Yeah, which is, I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, we had fun last time. Yeah.
What about that gig you had in Russia where it was like one night with a private party?
No, I did that with Rondinelli. That was at a BOC gig. Eric was going, you're crazy traveling all that time for one gig. I'm like, we traveled 16 hours to get to Kansas. You know what I mean? You're telling me to...
The band and the location.
Yeah, it took me 9 hours to get to Moscow. And so it takes us like, you know, it takes us 12 hours to get
to Salt Lake.
To get to Ohio.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the last thing I want to ask you about is your new album.
Oh.
So... You have a new album. I'm awesome at interviewing. I don't know if you've gotten that from my...
Yeah, Andy?
It goes into... We could stick with the geeky stuff. You engineer as well.
Yeah, I engineer, I produce, engineer, sing, write, blah, 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 blah.
His studio is 500 miles below Fresh Kills landfill. Yeah,
and I've had it since I was 8 years old. I've been building it since then.
In a bunker.
Out of Legos.
Out of Lego. So I've been working on a record for a while now. I had some fits and starts, some stuff that waylaid me here and there. And it's finally done. And by the time this airs, it'll probably be out. The record is called Three, because it's my third proper solo record. There's a bunch of really, what I think is really, really strong songs on it. And I think you're going to play one of them.
Yeah. Well, there's a song on that album that has like a really great guitar solo.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of... There's a lot of great guitar solos.
Let's talk about that song.
Well, yeah, that's a good song, but there are other good songs on the record.
Yeah, but that song, I mean, that guitar solo, when you hear that guitar...
I have to tell you, Rich, I'm sorry. That song didn't make the record.
Oh!
No. So no, only kidding.
You had me do the solo 75 times.
That's not true.
I know it's not true.
No, this song's that's on the record.
So your record has a bunch of guest musicians on it.
Yeah, I have like 15 or 20 musicians, which is something I never
do. Do you play on it at all?
No. which is something I never ever do. I never have other musicians on my record. It's like Todd doesn't have any musicians on his records, but it's not like I want to be like Todd or anything, but I have like people like Greg Hawkes, Roger Powell, Todd's on the record, Willie Wilcox is on the record. It's the first record that all four Utopia members appear on since 1993.
Nice.
Mark Rivera, Billy Joel sax player, Ringo's guy. Mark Alexander's on the record. My writing buddy Phil Thornley, who's an amazing musician, on the record. Andy Timmons is on the record.
Oh man! All right, maybe mine's not the best solo.
But Buck is on the record. You're on the record. Andy is on the record.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Muff is on the record.
The kazoo track? Yes, it's a kazoo.
No, he just means that I sat on the master tapes. On the record. Where is Andy? Come on. Where's the sticks? Come on. Where is it?
Jason Sheff from Chicago is on the record. Yeah.
Awesome.
Let's see. Who else? Oh God, I don't know. There's a bunch of people. It's a really good record.
Now, when's it coming out?
It will be out. If it's not already out by now, it will be out shortly, but before September.
Okay. And you can get on iTunes and Amazon, stuff like that?
It will be on iTunes, but not right away. The best thing to do is just go to the Facebook page, Chasm Sultan, on Facebook, and you can find the Chasm store from there.
All right. And tell us about the name of the track we're going to play.
This was one of the first tracks written for the record. It's and I wrote it with a buddy of mine, with Phil Thornley, who's one of my writing partners. Phil also wrote "Torn" by Natalie Imbruglia.
Oh wow!
I love that song.
I love that song.
Yeah. So much.
That's my song.
Yeah, he wrote and produced that song. He also
don't go there. I'll do it.
Awesome. Can we play a little bit of "Torn" for Amory?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. We're gonna write the chords down. Do you know the song, by any chance?
Yeah. Well, I know it.
All right, so it's an F. And then it goes, so F. So a man brought to life, then A minor.
And it stays on A minor.
B flat. Again. To be that man I adored. B flat. It crawled beneath my veins. Now D minor. C. A minor. B flat. No, C.
Back to C.
C, sorry. Now F, C.
This is how I feel.
Yeah, D minor, B flat. All right, we got this.
Can you turn me up with my headphones, please?
What mix is she on? No?
Yeah, she's on our mix.
Okay.
It's a shout out to Phil, actually, who I love dearly.
Hey, such a great guy. Check. Shouting out to Phil.
Here we go.
Not the Phil who was fired this week.
Oh yeah, Phil wants to know if he can come back next week, Andy.
No. Sure, why not?
That was the first Facebook question. Can I come back?
All right, here we go. Now.
Sorry. Okay.
I thought I saw a man brought to life.
was warm, he came around, and he was dignified. He showed me what it was to cry. You couldn't be that man I adore. You don't seem to know, seem to care what your heart is for. I don't know him anymore. There's nothing where he used to lie. The conversation has run dry. That's what's going on. Nothing's fine, I'm torn. I'm all out of faith. This is how I feel. I'm cold and I am shamed. Lying naked on the floor. Illusion never changed into something real. Wide awake and I can see the perfect sky is torn. Fortune teller's right. Should have seen just what was there, not some holy light. It crawled beneath my veins and now I don't care, I had no luck. I don't miss it all that much. There's just so many things that I can't touch. I'm torn, I'm all out of faith. This is how I feel. Cold and I am shamed. Lying naked on the floor. Illusion never changed into something real. Wide awake and I can see the perfect sky is torn. You're a little late, I'm already torn. Torn.
Slide whistle this one. Yeah, it's a slide solo, asshole. Here we go. Here we go.
Nothing's right on
top. That was the wedding ending.
Oh my god.
Torn.
Kasim?
Yes.
I'm sure this was the highlight of your career tonight. Thank you very
much. It was so much fun. I just want to say thanks so much for asking me to do this.
Are you kidding? This is such
really
a huge honor for you.
No,
to be here. Not for you, it's for us. But it's really for you to have.
You know, I tell you all the time how great it is to work with you. You're an amazing musician. Anne-Marie's an amazing singer.
Aw, thanks.
And Andy's amazing everything.
He
is. And Mo Pleasure is just speaks for himself. Brandy, I love you. Susie, I love you.
Mo Pleasure.
So what's the name of the song we're playing?
The song we're playing is called Fell in Love for the Last Time.
All right, that's going to take us out. This has been the Band Geek Podcast with Kasim Sultan. Yeah. I also want to thank Susie Ziegler for joining us today. I'm Richie Castellano. We have Jarrett Pressman,
Andy Ascalise, Anne-Marie Castellano, and Brandy Metaxas. We are the Band Geeks. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, like us, make comments, give us song requests, riotcast.com. Thanks a lot. Enjoy Cassim's tune.
Turned a corner and saw her face. All at once I believed. I was sure that it was fate, smiling back at me. All the stars were aligned, and I knew right then that she was mine. I was pulled from the fire. I fell in love for the last time. Half alive on a ship of fools. When a savior came to me, all the stars were aligned, and I knew right then that she was mine. I was pulled from the fire. I fell in love for the last time. Souls drifting out at sea. All at once.